Welcome to All Things Military and Veteran. Our guests will include enlisted officers and those who serve our veterans. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Info at epccpv.org. My name is Ken Charnick, and I'm the co-chair of the El Paso County, Colorado Progressive Veterans, a local group with over 1,300 members. I served in Vietnam as a combat medic. Our discussion today will be about Race Across America. Our guest is Joe Reagan, Director of Military and Veterans Outreach for Race Across America and a decorated Afghanistan Army Ranger officer. Let's get started. Joe, Race Across America has an amazing story about how Moral Worcester started this nonprofit and then how it exploded via the internet. Tell us about their history.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on, Kent. It's always great to be here and to share this story. So this was never really meant to be a nonprofit organization. Back in 1992, Moral Worcester, who's the founder of Race Across America, found himself with about 5,000 extra wreaths. So he is a wreath maker. In fact, the Worcester Wreath Company is one of the largest wreath manufacturers in Maine, if not the country. It's a fairly large operation. So in 1992, he found himself with, like I said, about 5,000 extra wreaths at the end of season, and tried to figure out, well, what am I going to do with these? I don't want them to go to waste. And so he recalled back to when he was a young man. He had won a trip to go to Washington, D.C. and tour our nation's capital. And the part of that trip that really stuck with him was the tour of Arlington National Cemetery. That's something that over the years had really just been imparted on him of the scope of sacrifice that has been made to allow him and his family to have the life that they have. So back in 92, he's looking at these wreaths and says, you know what, I'm going to put them in the truck. We're going to drive down to Arlington National Cemetery. We're going to lay these wreaths on the headstones of as many veterans as we can. And so they do that. And this was not necessarily an easy process. It was thanks to the work of Senator Olympia Snow, who represented the state of Maine at the time, kind of facilitated this. And this Arlington National Cemetery didn't necessarily want to have this happen. As you can imagine, Arlington has a very difficult and very important mission to preserve the legacy of all of the veterans that are there. And they really do take that quite seriously. So they stick them in kind of an older section of the cemetery where mostly Civil War era veterans have been laid to rest. And as they're going from headstone to headstone, this is Moral, some family members, a couple of close friends, but a really small group of people. And as they're going from headstone to headstone, it kind of dawns on them that most of these people either don't have any living relatives, or if they do have living relatives, they probably don't realize that person is interred there, never mind come to visit them on a regular basis. And so Moral kind of commits himself that this is going to become an annual tradition. And so but from 1992 until about 2005, that's exactly what it was. Some small groups of friends would go down and they would do this year after year as a personal gift to those veterans who were interred at Arlington National Cemetery. And in 2005, it snowed. And a staff photographer went out the day after these wreaths had been laid and captured the headstones in the snow with all the wreaths neatly laid up against them. That went viral. It was a viral picture, and people started to call Worcester Wreath Company and say, well, you know, we want to do this too. How, you know, can we send you money? They would send money. And the family was kind of like, well, we really don't want to take money. This is supposed to be a gift. And so what they decided to do was establish the nonprofit, Race Across America, and they adopted the mission to remember, honor, and teach. Remember the fallen, honor all those who serve, and teach the next generation the value of freedom. And that mission has continued to grow. Everyone believed that it would be disingenuous if they simply honored fallen veterans without doing anything to take care of living veterans. And so as part of that, the re-sponsorship program that we continue to use, for every $15 re-sponsorship, $5 of that is oftentimes going back to support other nonprofits that are supporting living veterans in communities across the country. And since 2005, that program has generated about $18 million to give back to these organizations. In fact, last year alone, we gave almost $2.5 million back. And my personal goal this year is I'd like to see that figure be over $3 million going back into to support community efforts. This mission has continued to grow. So when you think of 1992, 5,000 wreaths at Arlington National Cemetery this year. So as we come closer to Wreaths Across America Day, which would be December 17th this year, that has expanded from those 5,000 wreaths at one cemetery to, I think this year we're on track to do over 2.7 million wreaths at 3,600 locations across the country. That is in all 50 states, including Guam and Puerto Rico. We also have a wreath laying ceremony at the U.S. Cemetery in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. So this is really grown and expanded. And I think that what's the most important aspect of this is that it creates an opportunity for communities to come together and honor veterans during the holiday season. And that, I think, is important in a lot of different ways. It's not just about showing our support for those that have fallen and their families, but it also says something to living veterans as well. You know, laying that wreath and taking the time to honor them in that way says something to all of us that have served, that our service is valued and that there are people in those communities that appreciate it and want to learn about that service as well.
Wreaths Across America has a program called Remembering Tree. How much does this cost, and explain how it works?
Yeah, so the Remembrance Tree program is a free program. And what that is you are able to submit the name and information of a loved one that has served in the United States military. And that replica dog tag will be created and placed on one of the balsam trees at our tip land in Columbia Falls, Maine. And I'll explain that for a second, because most people are like, the what and the where. Each one of these wreaths is hand harvested from our balsam forest in Columbia Falls, Maine, which, as my boss likes to joke, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. And this is about 66,000 acres of balsam forest that, for those that are the environmentalists out there, this is actually a very sustainable practice. We are not cutting down trees when we do this. These trees, every 3 years, these trees will be trimmed, and just the tips of the branches will be used to make the wreaths. So actually, Morrill spends a whole lot of time taking care of those trees, and it is absolutely beautiful. Just to imagine, as many of us now probably have Christmas trees sitting in our homes, that is pretty much what the entire town of Columbia Falls smells like on a year-round basis. So what does that look like? So if you were to go up to Columbia Falls, you could lay that, you could place that dog tag yourself. For many people, that is a very emotional experience, especially if it is a veteran that they knew that has passed. A few years ago, you can also be for living veterans. So my wife, Tiffany, is also an Army veteran herself. And when we dedicated a portion of that tip land to honor female veterans, I was sure to make sure that I put a dog tag out there for Tiffany. So there's a tree out there that with Tiffany's name on it that is a living memorial to her service. Also, 2 years ago when we were up there, I actually put dog tags out there for the 23 soldiers that I've served with personally and close friends of mine who have served that were killed as a result of their service to our country. And it was a tremendous honor to be able to share their story with others that were around with us. It's a free program, but it's very meaningful to all those that participate to make sure that we're honoring, each and every person that has ever served our great country.
The trees that are chosen for remembering, are they actually used to make wreaths?
Yes. And so when someone goes out and is doing the what we call the tipping process, so when someone is out there working and they're going through the trees and trimming the trees, they'll actually stop and they will pause and look at the dog tag and will say the name of that individual aloud. I've heard it a couple of different places, but you die twice when you take your last breath and the last time someone says your name. And so that's a big part of this wreath laying process and the Remembrance Tree program, is to say the name of that individual, to preserve that legacy. And I'll also say that when you do say those names, it really does create a connection with that individual. And I'll share a story about that, because I think sometimes people sit there and say, well, you're nuts, you're crazy. And I was, my last active duty assignment was in Washington, D.C., and I spent a good amount of time in Arlington National Cemetery. And even though I have friends that are buried there, it was never really an emotional experience for me. It was always just kind of a thing you had to do. So my first time doing the wreath laying at Arlington, I was in a section of the cemetery where it was mostly World War I veterans. So just kind of as I'm walking through, the kids had, I had my kids with me. They picked up a couple of wreaths and they found headstones and they were off doing stuff. And just, I kind of see this headstone that's sitting there without a wreath on it. And so I walk over to it, a complete stranger. And I lay the wreath down and I say the person's name. And I just break out in tears. And I'm like, where is this coming from? And I, to this day, still can't necessarily explain it. But it does. When you're doing this, it creates a connection with that veteran, with that person. And their legacy is now becomes part of your legacy. And I think it's a great way to get inspiration from those sacrifices, to be able to be whatever you do, be better at it because of the sacrifices that have been made to allow us to do it.
What if a veteran is buried in a cemetery that doesn't receive the wreaths? What can be done?
So every one of the locations that we have are maintained by a volunteer. Wreaths Across America staff is extremely small. I think we have less than 40 people on full-time throughout the course of the year. So every one of these locations, and I mentioned earlier, we have 3,600 locations that participate each year. That's a volunteer that's doing that. So that's someone that has identified one of those cemeteries and say, hey, why don't we do this here? And they're the ones that have the strength and resolve to raise their hand and say, yeah, I'll do it. I'll make sure this happens. Great example. I had someone reach out to me just a few weeks ago in a very rural part of Alaska and said, you know, hey, we have this cemetery in our town. There's like 20 veterans that are buried there. Can we participate? I said, well, are you willing to take on that responsibility? They're like, yeah, if you can get us the wreaths, we'll do it. And I said, okay, well, here's how we do that. If you find a cemetery that's near you and say, you know, or if you have a loved one that's buried at a cemetery near you and it's not there, you can absolutely go to wreathsacrossamerica.org, go to our locations and groups section on the menu, and you can learn how to become a new location. It happens every year. In fact, last year we had 3,100 locations and this year we're up to 36. So it spreads.
That's really awesome. Can you visit your location? Is there a museum there? Just a bunch of trees? Kind of expand on that. Let me understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as I jokingly said, Columbia Falls, Maine, which is in the very northern part of Maine. So if you're familiar with the geography of the East Coast, you're talking, you're about 40 miles from the end of the U.S. shoreline before it goes over into Canada. So it's not that far from the easternmost point of the United States. So if you are up in that area, very, very beautiful coastline. And Columbia Falls, Maine is this really small little town. And yeah, we do have a museum that sits there that talks about our mission, what we do. And it really tries to share the individual story. So when I talk about Wreaths Across America, oftentimes I start with that big story, all the big numbers, and that's important. Talking about the scope of the sacrifice that's been made to preserve our freedoms over the years is tremendously important. But what really matters is the story of the individual, and that's the story that we try and tell, is to really focus on those men and women that have served our country, their experiences, their challenges, and their successes, and to tell that story. And that's what the museum's able to do. And a few years ago, because not everyone can make it to Northern Maine, we have a mobile education exhibit that travels around the country throughout the course of the year and shares part of that story and part of that mission with folks. In fact, it was here in Colorado Springs about a month ago to be able to share that mission. And on top of that, it also is a mobile welcome home center for Vietnam veterans. Kent, I know, you were one of the many people that served in Vietnam, and we've had many conversations about how you were treated when you came home. And I've always said that as a younger veteran, the gratitude, the resources, all the things that we have available to us today as young veterans are in thanks to folks like yourself who, when we went back to war after 9/11, it was folks like yourself that stood up and said, we will not let this next generation of veterans be treated the same way that we were. And so the mobile education exhibit serves as a mobile welcome home ceremony so that we're able to honor not just, you know, all of our veterans, of course, but especially those Vietnam veterans, and make sure that each and every one of you know that your service is valued, and that, you know, we are glad that there are folks like you that answered the call to serve when asked.
If you would like mobile exhibit to come to an area, is there a way to request that? What is the process?
Yeah, so when you go to reachacrossamerica.org, under our special programs, you can see the mobile education exhibit there. There is a form that you can fill out. Back in early December, we did release what we believe is going to be our 2023 tour schedule. As you can imagine, we try and, from a logistics perspective, we try not to have this thing crisscrossing the country all the time. So next year, it will start in January. It'll be in California. And I believe it's going to be coming through Southern Colorado again. I want to say either next April or possibly May. I know we have some events in Arizona through March. Actually, we've got a couple of large events that we're doing in Phoenix. But it'll continue to work away. But if you do have something that you're interested in doing, if you go to reachacrossamerica.org, you can find the mobile education exhibit there on the menu, and there's a form that you can request it. And if we can't get the exhibit there, there's other alternatives. That's the advantage of having staff across the country, like myself being here. If we can't get the mobile exhibit, I might be a disappointment, but you might not get the exhibit, but you might get me. So that's something.
That is for sure. Next time it's in the springs, let me know and I'll push it out to our membership.
Absolutely. I sure certainly will.
I noticed that Reach Across America has their own radio show that runs 7 days a week. Where can our listeners find the show?
Absolutely. So Reach Across America Radio is, as we call it, is the voice for America's veterans. And that is, like I said, we're trying to tell the stories of those individuals. You can stream it online. So when you go to reachacrossamerica.org, there's a listen button at the top right. So if you are computer bound like I am during the day, that you can listen here on the computer. You can also hear it on the iHeart. It's also on Odyssey and several other streaming platforms. So it's we've really tried to make it as easy as possible to get that out there so that folks can listen to this programming. And it's things that you... highlighting our volunteers, highlighting the service of our Gold Star families that are out there who, despite unthinkable losses of a loved one, continue to serve our communities in different ways. One of the things that started my role at Reach Across America was hosting a series of roundtable discussions talking about veterans issues. And just simply trying to break the stigma around not just mental health and suicide, but veterans issues in general. The current statistics, less than 7% of Americans have ever served in the United States military, which means that there's a lot of folks out there who want to express their gratitude for our veterans, but don't necessarily understand what they've done. They don't understand the stories, the challenges, and again, the success as well. That's a huge piece is saying there, you know, when you look at young people today, there's a lot of people that are out there that will try and tell you why young people aren't interested in serving the United States military. It's none of those reasons. When you ask young people themselves, the young people will say that either they cannot see themselves in the military because of just they don't see that as being part of their journey. But the biggest reason is they're afraid that when they come out, they'll be broken. And that fits in with the narrative of most Americans. If you grab someone off the street and say, hey, describe for me what a veteran looks like, they're going to give you one of two descriptions. And that's going to look something like Captain America, or it's going to look a lot like Lieutenant Dan. And of course, as all of us that serve veterans know, that's not the case. There are many, many veterans who have served honorably and continue to serve their communities in various capacities and have been very, very successful with life. And so I think that is the narrative that we want to bring forward, because when you look at things like the GI Bill, Service in our military brings with it a tremendous amount of benefit that can really set someone up for success. And that's what we really want to talk about. That's how we want to educate young people about these experiences. And that is as silly as it may sound, that starts at a cemetery on December 17th, where we are able to connect with those young people that do it. The majority of our volunteers are under the age of 18. These are young people that are out there that want to learn about these things. They want to learn about the service of veterans. And this is that opportunity to make those connections and continue. This is a starting point for education, as I like to say.
I'm reasonably certain that a number of our listeners want to have a fundraiser with Wreaths Across America. How exactly do they do that? What is the process? And once they get the wreaths, do they just sell them or tell me the whole story?
Yeah. So when you go to wreathsacrossamerica.org, you can do one of two. Well, you can do a few things. You can outright sponsor a wreath right through the webpage, and that you can say which cemetery you want to go to. Some cemeteries even offer the opportunity for what we call a grave-specific request. So for folks that I know, I try to always make sure that the folks that I've served alongside, that their specific headstones are honored. So I'll put a grave-specific request in. For example, if you are a nonprofit that wants to partner with us, if you go there and you can look at sponsorship groups and add a new sponsorship group, it'll walk you through the process. It's relatively straightforward. We have in all four, or we have five regions across the country. So somebody will reach out to you, contact you from the office and say, hey, thanks for stepping up. Thanks for doing this. Here's some information for you. And then we'll actually create a custom webpage for you and your organization through us. And we do that primarily for logistics. As you can imagine, this there's a lot that has to happen to get these wreaths from Maine to wherever they might be. And so but that becomes your personal fundraising page, and you can share that with people. So we have folks that will go out, and you can just do social media. So put it onto Facebook. Hey, sponsor a wreath for my organization, and this is what it is. And that's prior to being a full-time employee for wreaths. That's one of the fundraisers that I ran when I was working for a nonprofit in Maine. That was one of our seasonal fundraisers that we used to help fund our homelessness program. So you have that page that's available to you to fundraise throughout the course of the year. Other people will do fun stuff. I mean, there's other opportunities too. So people will get QR codes and might go, just like you know, you're walking out of Walmart and the Boy Scouts are trying to sell you popcorn or something like that. And you can do that. And in fact, I talked to John Foley a few weeks ago about doing that with the Boy Scouts here locally, where they could use that to be it's a service project for some of those Boy Scouts for taking this on and taking the time to do the volunteerism side. But then it can also be a fundraiser for them to help support what the troop is doing. So that's really what it looks like. And it's surprisingly simple, despite the fact that I just took over 3 minutes to describe the whole process. I get paid by the word, you know.
I assume that, and I will send you a blank check without my signature.
You know, and that's funny. You know, that's a unique thing. When you think about a national level nonprofit, most national nonprofits, their fundraising makes up a relatively small portion of their budget. Most of it, what they're doing is grant and intra-program funding is what they're doing. We're almost 100% funded through donations. We don't accept grants. We have corporate sponsors that we work with, but the majority of our donors are individuals, you know, just somebody that mails in their check. And I really do feel bad for our finance department, because I mean, if you look at the volume of mail that they receive, it's pretty impressive. So, that's, I think, the coolest part of this project is that it is not just this is not people writing checks for $250 million. You know, these are individuals writing checks for $15 to make sure that their loved one or even a complete stranger is honored during the holiday season. And I think that's and you see it when I interact with volunteers all the time. You've seen me around town in my truck blazoned with the Reach Across America logo. You know, I'll be in the grocery store parking lot. Someone will come up to me and they say, oh, I love what you do. We donate every year. We're so passionate about it. And I just love hearing those stories. So if you do see me, if I've got the kids, I might be a little razzled, but that's normal. But I do. When I'm out there, I love hearing the stories of folks that support the program and what their connection is and how they got involved. Because I think those are really incredible stories.
This sounds definitely like something my group would like to do. The webpage that you create, can we get a copy of that to throw it on our website, or would it just be a link to your website? Technically, how would this all work?
So for the what you would do is on your – so a great example, so Army Women's Foundation, one of our partners. What they've done is if you go and search Army Women's Foundation right now, that you will see on their splash page, you know, oh, support the Army Women's Foundation and Reach Across America, do good twice. And then through their webpage, it links back into our page or their fundraising page on our webpage. And then people are able to sponsor Reach through that. So we could do something similar. Once you have that link, you can post it anywhere. You could get one of those QR codes, Kent, put on the back windshield of your car. And as you're driving around, people might, you know, snap a picture of that QR code and donate right from there.
Awesome. Okay. I will do that. You sold me. I got another question. When I was on your website, Reach Across America has a curriculum. Who can use it? And can the curriculum be downloaded for those that want to put it into their program?
Absolutely. In fact, I, over Veterans Day, sent the lesson plan over to my son's teacher here in Colorado Springs. It was actually kind of funny how that happened. So our teaching initiative started, really kicked off this year. And I think that the teach, for me personally, the teach part of the mission is the most important part of what we do. Because for me, that's what's important, is being able to share that. And yes, the curriculum that was put together by our Gold, she's actually a former high school teacher and Gold Star mother, who has developed this curriculum in partnership with many different organizations. If you go on there, you'll see content from the 50th commemoration of the Vietnam War, Library of Congress, Medal of Honor Society, the Eisenhower Foundation, all these different partners. And the idea is to, you know, like I said, it's age appropriate, K through 12, all different lesson plans. And it can be something similar as, hey, here's a wreath that you can color in, and the words that are associated with, you know, what makes up a veteran's, what makes a veteran's wreath unique. And talking about that too, for high school students, we encourage them to participate in the Veterans Oral History Project and to actually interview veterans and get their stories of service. But that is free for everyone. In fact, really powerful for me, just yesterday, we had our mobile education exhibit with our curriculum visit a school in Norfolk, Massachusetts. It was the Freeman Kennedy School, elementary school. Adam Kennedy was one of my best friends in college and was killed in Iraq in 2006. And so when we were able to make that connection, and it was really, really cool for me to be able to sit down with the students and talk about who Adam was. You know, obviously very important to me. Growing up, a lot of the buildings that I went to school in were named after World War I veterans. And they were just words on a wall. And I don't want that to happen. I would like for people to know who they were. And for me, Adam is that person. For others, I'm sure there's others that have that. So that's the power of being able to bring that thing. And that's something that is at no cost to educators or parents. You know, when the kids are home from school and for a snow day, that's where I'm going. And, you know, here's some things for you to keep you busy during the day while I have to continue being productive in my office. But yeah, when you go to reachacrossamerica.org/teach, that's where you can find the curriculum there and see all about it.
That is really awesome. I'm, going to send that information to our granddaughter's school. She goes to school down in Pueblo, and I think it's important, just as you do.
Well, kids love this stuff. Yeah, so the Veterans Day piece. My older son comes home. I pick him up from school, and he says, "Daddy," he goes, "would you like to see my presentation on what women did in World War II?" And I said, "Sure. Tell me all about it." So he talks about Rosie the Riveter and how the women, you know, dropped everything to get into the factory, and they just really pushed hard. And I said, "Hey, buddy, that's a great job." He's in fifth grade. I said, "That's, you know, great job, great, you know, great presentation." I said, "Would you like to see my presentation?" And he said, "You've done a presentation of this too?" I said, "Yeah." And I bring up an article that I had written about the 6888 Postal Battalion. And most people are like, "What is a postal battalion?" Well, the 6888 specifically was the only all-female, all-black unit to serve overseas during World War II. And they were an admin unit that was responsible for sorting the mail. But an incredible story of these women who, at the beginning of the war, women, especially black women, were not allowed to serve in the military. And so these women fought actively to serve. Like, they had to advocate in order to get the ability to serve in the military during the Second World War. And that was something that they felt was their responsibility. Wonderful, wonderful story. And through our partnership with the Army Women's Foundation and the Military Women's Memorial, we worked on an initiative to get the 6888 Congressional Gold Medal, which President Biden actually signed into law this past summer. And so I shared him, and he said, "Would you give that to my teacher?" And I said, "Sure." And so I sent it to his teacher. And the next day, the teacher pulls me aside at pickup, and she's like, "That was incredible. The kids loved every bit of that. They just were eating it up." And so, like I said, it is important. It upsets me when I'm out there talking to people, and they say, "Oh, you know, kids these days." And I said, "Well, have you talked to kids? Because if you talk to kids, you realize that, no, these kids do want to learn about patriotism. They do want to learn about military service. So if you're one of those people that sits there and says, 'Oh, kids these days,' well, get out there and teach them, because they want to learn and they will listen." And I see it every day. And you know, that's why this teach curriculum, this teach initiative, is so important to not just me, but everyone on our staff.
I'm getting ready to wrap our podcast. Do you have anything else to add? What would you like to tell our listeners? What have my questions missed?
Well, honestly, I could sit here and could talk for hours about this program and all the different things. And so the two things that I would say, first and foremost, any questions that you might have, reachacrossamerica.org. That's where you're gonna find everything that I talked about and more. You can go there. The site is actually really easy to navigate. You can learn more about our programs. And the second thing to ask is, show up. December 17th, Pikes Peak Cemetery, Evergreen Cemetery, Memorial Gardens, the Air Force Academy here locally. We have locations. I think it was probably about 20 different locations across the Front Range, Fort Logan being one of the larger ones. Show up. See what it means. Experience it. If you experience it, I guarantee you'll be hooked. And just to kind of talk about that impact, not every cemetery receives full coverage. So often our location coordinators will have to pick and choose different sections of the cemetery to focus on year after year. But the goal, obviously, is to rotate through to make sure that every veteran is honored periodically. Arlington National Cemetery did not get full coverage for the longest time. So a few years ago, our location coordinator at the end of the day was going through the cemetery and just trying to make sure that everything was all right. And as he's walking through one of the newer parts of the cemetery, he's walking down a row of headstones and kind of gets to the end where the last wreath had been laid. But there were several headstones that went on that didn't receive coverage. And there's a gentleman that's standing there just kind of looking down at one of the headstones that doesn't have a wreath on it. And so Wayne looks over at the gentleman and, just being polite, just kind of acknowledges him. And the gentleman looks at him and says, what's with all the wreaths? And Wayne very proudly talks about our mission and what we're doing and how earlier in the day, 60,000 people had shown up to honor the veterans in the cemetery by laying the wreaths. And the gentleman just kind of sits there and nods and listens. And then he looks down at one of the headstones And he looks up at Wayne and he says, well, how come my son didn't get one? And that's the power of what this is. This is more than just a wreath. Not only are you giving back to support organizations that support living veterans in our community, but you really are making a promise to the families of those that that legacy will continue to live on through all of us. It is a very, very powerful program, and I hope that folks will have that experience this year and bring the kids, because they need it too.
Thanks, Joe. You work for an amazing organization, and obviously you are emotionally involved. Well, I need to pay some bills now, so now a quick word from our sponsor. All Things Military and Veteran is proudly sponsored by Native Roots Cannabis Company, Colorado's leading locally grown and owned dispensary chain. With 20 locations and counting, Native Roots is ready to educate and serve adult use and medical patients alike. Native Roots, grown with love. Thank you for listening to the All Things Military and Veteran podcast. We can be found on over a dozen podcast sites, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. We hope you find our efforts rewarding and informative. Feel free to contact us at info@epccpv.org or give me a call, 303-618-6131. And thank you for listening.